neighborhood.
She was crippled, homebound, shut in, and often didn't have many visitors. The preacher said that he talked with the woman for some time, and as she talked more about her ailments and her problems. But more, she talked about her loneliness. She said, "People just sometimes forget me." And all the while, the preacher kept looking at his watch, waiting for that hour hand to hit the right mark so that he could say that he spent his time and that he could leave and go home. So when the time came, he did exactly that, and she thanked him over and over and how grateful she was, and certainly very happy for the fact that the preacher had come to visit her. And she hugged his neck and told him bye and said, "Please come see me again," of which he promised and said, "I'll be back soon." As he left, and as he was walking to his car, there were two young boys on the street. They were playing, and he recognized one of the boys. One of the boys had been to the worship service with his aunt. And as he walked past the boy also recognized him, and explaining to his friend, he says, "There goes the Church of Christ." He stopped for a moment, he paused, and he thought to himself. He said, "Well, no, I'm not going to stop and explain this. They wouldn't understand anyway." Thinking to himself, "Well, I'm not the Church of Christ." But as he got in his car, as he began to drive back to his office at the church building, the thought would not leave his mind. The Church of Christ. He said, "Well, would it have been any less effective had I got permission from the elders to make that visit? Would it still been the work of the church? Perhaps if the whole congregation had gone and we sat on her couch and visited with her, would had it still been the Church of Christ, the work of the church?" I think sometimes we get caught up in semantics when it comes to words. And I'll be the first to tell you, I used to do the same thing. People would tell me, "Well, you're the Church of Christ preacher, right, Johnny?" We talked about this last week. But the more I thought about it, the more I have to agree with the preacher's story. If I am not the Church of Christ, of which Christ is the head of the body, Ephesians 5:23. If I'm not the church of which Christ said he purchased with his own blood, then who am I? I mean, after all, you give the entire discourse that Paul is writing in Ephesians chapter 5 in relation to that we are the church. We tell people that we're the church. We tell people that this building is not the church, but that the body is the church. And yet sometimes we almost seem to get offensive when somebody calls us the Church of Christ. But yet, in relation to what Jesus Christ is giving, and certainly what Paul is painting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we're going to look at in a moment, brethren, are we not the church of which Christ is the head? Is it such a bad thing for us to call ourselves the Church of Christ? I mean, after all, we put it on the sign, don't we? We want people to know this is where the church of which Christ founded, upon the foundation of which he told Peter in Matthew chapter 16, of which he was willing to give his life and sacrifice and pour his blood on that stained cross for all of us that we might know what the church is. Is it really such a bad thing that we are the church of Christ? Shake your head like this. No. You see, really what we should be caught up in is the fact of what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary, and how we are unified as one body of believers. So as that preacher thought more on the topic, the preacher smiled to himself, because indeed on that day when that little boy saw him coming out of that woman's apartment making a visit to an elderly woman who was shut in that had nobody, he wasn't up to no good, but the little boy referenced and said, "There goes the Church of Christ." He could have been doing anything else that day, but that day he thought to himself, "I visited a woman in her time of need, and I represented the Church of Christ." Because really, as we talked about this morning, in relation to having the proper attitude, when we go into the world, we represent the church, do we not? And we represent Christ, who is the head of that church, of which we proudly proclaim to be of that one body and that one spirit, unified of the same mind and the same judgment that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. And so because we proclaim loudly, gladly, hopefully, and willingly, brethren, we are the church. And let us never forget that. That which Christ was willing to sacrifice for all of us. So the preacher smiled to himself, for he had indeed been a representative of Christ that day. He had been the church. For good or ill, brethren, our actions are always actions of the church of Christ. I mentioned this before when I was in the military. One of the things they told us, wherever you go, you represent the Marine Corps. Wherever you go, you represent everybody else that came before you. Don't embarrass the Corps, they would tell us over and over and over again. So whenever I hear of these individuals on TV that do bad things, what's the first thing they always say? He was a Marine. So do I take offense or cause? And do I pause over the fact that here's an individual that's defacing or dishonoring that for which I also served greatly and proudly for? Absolutely I do. Because that seems what they always point to. So in relation to us being God's children and being Christians, is that not also the thing that comes and is painted for us in pictures to say, he's Church of Christ. She's Church of Christ. So with that, we understand that we are a company of believers of one body, of which Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, of which the Bible pictures worshiping God collectively as a community together because we are the church. So if you have your Bibles, I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the latter part here, beginning in verse 12. You see, throughout the length of the Bible, the worship of God took place within a circle of a community. When you think about Abraham and his descendants, they served God as family units concerning the patriarchal concept or the hierarchy of that whole thing. Because you had the patriarch of which the individual would bring his family together and to worship God collectively together. So it's the same concept that's rolled forward, the same thing that we see today, that we are to gather together in like manner and like spirit of one faith, of one accord that the Bible talks about, as one body of believers. And Paul, in painting the great picture that we understand the church at Corinth to be, one that was fraught with all kind of difficult things taking place, things unfolding, problems, issues, division, divisiveness, schisms, all of these different things that Paul talks about within the confines of 1 Corinthians, he then brings it home to center in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in painting this character of the body going against itself. And I don't know about you, and it's kind of frustrating as we get older. Sometimes I know I'm getting older because I hurt myself in my sleep and I don't even know how I did it. And when we wake up with more ailments and frailments and all of these other things, and when the body isn't working together as a cohesive unit, it's frustrating, is it not? So we go to the doctor and we get it fixed, or perhaps we ignore it and saying it's going to get better, or we take some over-the-counter medicine trying to fix it ourselves when understanding and knowing that we need to go to the doctor to have it fixed. But all the while, the body is telling us and giving us warning signs and directions and arrows telling us, hey, you need to fix this problem. Something is going on here within the body. Because the body wars against itself. Paul talks about that, understanding the concept of what the flesh is. Because we are human beings, we war against the flesh, the mind, the spirit, all of those things that we struggle with because we are individuals. But Paul said collectively in that whole concept in Galatians chapter 6, when you come together as one body and one spirit, when you bear the burdens of each other, you're bearing the burdens of your community. You're to have the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said there is unity, but there's also diversity in the one body. Let me say that again. There's unity, but there's also diversity in the one body. Notice in verse 12, Paul said, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." You know what that means, brethren? You're stuck with me, and I'm stuck with you. But that's not a bad thing. Because in that, we receive the inheritance of God because we are in His family. And because we have that inheritance of which God says is stored up for us in heaven, that which He's waiting for us to claim to receive through the gift of salvation, we are that one body, that one family, born into Jesus Christ through baptism. So Paul says, in relation to that, Paul's exhortation in 1 Corinthians 12 was an extension of a theme that runs through the Bible, the entire Bible. You are to be unified and you are to be one. So with that, I represent the church because there's only one. There's not many, as mankind says, there's one. And because I represent the one church, just as the preacher said, I was representing the one church that day when that young boy, not fully perhaps comprehending what he was saying, but because he had been there, referenced me as being a member of the body of Christ. And at first, the preacher said, I was offended by it. And I too have been there. But yet, why would we be offended by the very name that Jesus Christ gives us? We say, well, we're Christians and all of that stuff. And that's absolutely true and totally right, because we are. Individually, collectively, we are the church of Christians, the church of Christ. Because we bear His name, because we bear His title. Paul said, don't deface that title. God's people live, they worship, and they care for one another as a community. And that's what Paul is expressing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul goes on to say in verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Paul said, guess what? Doesn't matter if you're a Jew, doesn't matter if you're a Greek, doesn't matter where your background, who you are, how much money you have, where you come from. Paul says, guess what? As you are a believer in Christ, as you accept the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as you repent of your sins and you are baptized into that body of believers, guess what? You now are no longer yours, but you belong to Christ and you become one with Christ. And because we become one with Christ, and because we are one body of believers, Paul gives the analogy of the human body that well illustrates the concept of community. In verse 14, Paul says, for in fact the body is not one member but many. Right? I mean, when you think about the complexity of the human body, I was a biology major in college, so I studied it quite a bit. Studied many different animals. And it's really interesting when you think about how diverse and dynamic and how amazing all of those structures of which God designed, all of these different parts, so to speak, in the body that are working separately and doing their own thing, yet they're working together for the one cohesive aspect of what the body does and how it's designed. Each organ works its own way, doing its own thing. We can move separately and independently of different parts of our body, some doing it involuntarily, some are voluntarily. So when you take and put all of these things together, it's even amazing that we can walk around. But God designed it in such a way that we have a mind of which we can logically think and go through things, that we can control it. But when the body begins to war against itself, of which Paul is going to talk about here, he said, for the fact that the body is not one but many members, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not the body? So Paul's beginning to paint this character of the body talking to itself. Almost in the sense as he's talking to the Corinthians, as if he's making fun of the fact that you can't claim to be one thing and do something else. Paul said, you can't claim to be a Christian and do something completely opposite of what the Christian is supposed to do. So if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, am I not the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? So individually, the eye is important, the ear is important, the hands are important. Verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. So God has designed this whole process. And if there were all one members, or all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet just one body. So guess what God says, and guess what Paul is writing to the Corinthian church? You better get along. You better get along. You're diverse, but you're also unified. You're different, but yet you're the same. So when all of those cohesive parts begin to work together, they work for the better of the body of Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say in verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one members, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think are less honorable, of these we bestow greater honor, or more unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having even greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should be the same for one another. And if one member suffers, brethren, all of the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all of the members are honored with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, verse 27. Paul said, of all of these different things that are going on, the divisions that were taking place in the church, Paul said, get over it and be unified again. You can collectively be who you are as the body and individually still serve Christ. Paul was not the first person to draw on the unity, the diversity of the body. Even Jesus in his prayer in John chapter 17 said that they may be one as we are together, Father, that we are unified just as you and I are, Father, and I pray that they too are unified collectively together as the one body. Christ gave that great commission to all to go into the world, as we talked about this morning, to preach the gospel to every creature. That wasn't just given to leaders and preachers. That was given to all of us. The Lord did not give that to a select group of individuals. He gave it to the body. Why? Because each of us have our own talents and our own special gifts of which we can present the Lord to the Lord and about the church. And each Christian depends on every other Christian to do his part. While made up of many parts, the body is integrated as a whole. Being a part of the body is not an option for Christian living. You see, that's what happens when individuals fall away. They think they have the option to attach themselves to the body whenever they feel like it. Well, everything seems to be going good right now. Everything is great, so I'm going to attach myself to the body. Things become difficult, I'm going to pull myself away from the body. That's not an option as a child of God. Because guess what? Just as a marriage, through sickness and health, through rich or through poor, you're a part of that body. You don't pull chalks and run when times get difficult, do you? Shake your head like this? No. You dig your heels in and you fight for that cause, correct? Yes. And the same is applicable to the church in and of itself. You don't cut ties and run when things get difficult, when one part of the body is sick, when schisms are taking place, when difficult times are happening. You dig in and you help that body get better. You help that one member heal itself and bear his or her burdens. And with that, the body becomes better. It begins to heal itself. It begins to improve. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes patience. Hey, guess what? That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the very next chapter, when he says, guess what? You can do all of these things. You can open your mouth and say great things, but if you ain't got love behind it, you ain't got nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. Love is not envious. It's not covetousness. It's none of those things. And Paul is writing that in continuation of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he said the body is one. He said you better understand the concept of love too, because those go together. That you love the body. Becoming a Christian involves more than just accepting Jesus into one's heart. Because as we also said this morning, it's not a way, it's the way of living. It's who you are. It's your passion. It's what you become. And so with that, you take all of those parts of the body together. And sometimes we don't always get along when we rub each other the right way, right? The whole I love you but I don't like you right now concept. I love you but I'm not going camping with you concept. But it doesn't mean we cast the member out. It doesn't mean we say that one's less important than this portion of the body. Because Paul said you're all one body, yet individually you're still individuals. And it's okay for us to be individuals and to be quirky in who we are and have our own characteristics. Those things are okay. But guess what? You bring that whole collective together as one body it's a magnificent and wonderful thing. It's not a bad thing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are to honor the oneness, the singleness of the body. So, Paul symbolically has written these various parts of the body, arguing the case for them. So with that, as Paul is talking about this, why can't Christians treat one another with equal wisdom and love? We don't cast out our own portions of our body that aren't working correctly. So let me make this very clear. There should never be any schisms or disharmony in the body. Because if there is, then we need to go to the great physician to fix it. Just as we go to the doctor when our body hurts or when we're sick, the only person that's going to fix that schism is the Lord Himself. When one suffers, others share in that agony. When one is honored, all should be happy. We are the body of Christ and the members individually. Paul again goes on in 1 Corinthians to say that the church, that we are to be unified in love, that we are to love each other, to lift each other up. So again, the next time somebody says, well, you're the church of Christ, I will proudly say, yes, I am. And with that, you represent me and I represent you. And we represent each other collectively as the body. Of which we can say when we do something individually, guess what? When you visit somebody individually, it's collectively the church that's doing it. We don't take credit for it in and of ourselves. It's not about us. It's not to be seen of men. It's not that we might get a pat on the back and say, hey, look, I did my Christian duty for the week. We do it because we love the family. And so when one does it, the church does it. When one does it, the Lord is glorified and the church is recognized. And when the church is recognized in the world, brethren, the Lord gets the credit and the glory. You see, that's what it's about. That's what this whole concept of Christianity is about. About being unified in the body as one, but individually we are separate, which we bring our own talents to glorify the body of Jesus Christ. And brethren, we're blessed to be part of that one body. So, am I Church of Christ? I am a member of the Church of Christ, of which Jesus is the head. I am a part, a small part of the body that tries to do His part for the rest of the body. So tonight, if you want to be a part of that body, that very important body of which Christ is watching, of which Christ gave Himself and shed His blood that you might be a member of it, if you want to be a part of that, Christ says, I'll tell you exactly how to do it. It's not hard. He doesn't make it difficult. He said, I have some steps that you need to follow that show your dedication and your commitment to me. In that, you've got to be willing to cast off your individuality in relation to not caring for everyone else, that you've got to sacrifice and become one as we are one. So if you're willing to repent, Jesus says, that's exactly what I want you to do. And with that, after repentance, Jesus said, you've got to be willing to stand before men and confess me. Acts 17:30, Jesus says, repent. Acts 2:38, Jesus Christ says, repent. But also Jesus Christ said, if you'll stand before men, I'll gladly stand before you with my Father in heaven and say, this one is not guilty. And then finally, if you're ready to put on Christ in baptism, to have all of those sins washed away, to become a new creature in Christ, a new man, a new person, guess what? Jesus Christ adds you to His church, to His body. And you become part of that family. Where else would you rather be? And tonight, if you're here as a part of the body, sometimes we struggle within that body with the concept of what it means to be part of the body. Maybe we become individualistic again. Maybe we become selfish. Whatever the case is, we have our moments because we're human beings. I mean, if you had a sibling, you probably never argued or fussed with your sibling, right? I know my brother and I, we were perfect. We never got in trouble. We fought all the time. But you know what? As much as we fought and as much as we argued sometimes, sometimes clashed and butted heads because we were 6 years apart, I wouldn't trade my little brother for anything. We are a family. So if you're struggling with the family, we need to know so that we can help you, that we can lift you up, that we can encourage you, that we can support you. Because that's what a family does. Even though we might get frustrated with each other sometimes and butt heads, doesn't mean we don't love each other. Doesn't mean we don't care for each other. So if we can help you, if we can pray for you, whatever your need is, let's do it together as we stand and sing.